Well, Ann and I also want to say thank you. Thank you for the gift, and thank you for your love, and thank you for making our ministry a joy. Our thoughts today are focused on God the Son, taking upon himself human flesh, born into this world the same way we all are, although the conception was supernatural, in order to live the life we could not live and die the death we should have died. Amidst the festivities that are rightfully precious to us, we need some time today, on this Lord's Day, Christmas Day, to meditate upon Jesus, to meditate upon who Jesus is, to think about Jesus as a baby in a manger and meditate on the question, who will he be? What we will do today is survey the four chapters that give us the story, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, looking for answers to the question, this baby in a manger, who will he be? What do the gospel accounts in Matthew and Luke tell us about who this baby will be? We will pop in on 7 snippet passages, each with its own answer, and each a reason to praise. Here's the first one. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is from Matthew's account of the birth of Christ. Matthew tells us that when Mary and Joseph were betrothed, engaged to be married, Mary was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph made the natural deduction about Mary's pregnancy, and as Joseph was considering his plan to break off the engagement quietly, an angel appeared to him in a dream and told him Mary had conceived by the Holy Spirit. And the angel said to Joseph, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The other statements about Christ that we will look at today are equally important and precious, but how do we not prioritize this? He will save his people from their sins. Without this truth, the other truths about Christ that we will look at today will not be good news for us. As believers, everything God has for us by way of blessing begins with our salvation from sin. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. For our sake, he, God, made him, Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Those are 6 verses of the many we could cite saying that we need to be saved from the wrath of God. Why am I belaboring this point? He will save his people from their sins, because this is the most important news there is. This is the most relevant, urgent, weighty truth. We are sinners under God's wrath and condemnation. And we can only be saved from God's wrath by placing our trust fully and completely in His own provision of a Savior, His own sinless Son, who took our wrath upon Himself as a substitutionary sacrifice for us. What could possibly be more important? Your sinning makes you God's enemy. God's provision of His Son as Savior makes you His child and His friend and His beloved. If you will repent of your sin and confess Jesus as your Lord and trust in Him as your Savior, He will save His people from their sins. But that's not the only thing that the birth of Christ's stories tell us about who Jesus will be. The gospel writer Matthew confirms that a particular prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled by Christ. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Today is not the day to dig into what this prophecy meant to Isaiah's original audience. Today we will simply relish the ultimate fulfillment in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is God with us. He came to earth to give us a profound picture of who God is. He became a human in order to die in the place of humans. He promises to be with us always if we put our trust in Him. United with Christ, we died with Him, and we are raised with Him to walk in newness of life. He gives us His love and His joy and His peace. He says to us, "Abide in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing." He will come for us one day, and we will be with Him forever. He is our closest friend, better than anyone else can be. He is Emmanuel, God with us. The Magi, the wise men from the East, also add to the picture of who Jesus will be. "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." The Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, over and over promised a great future King of the Jews. Imagine that you are among the faithful of Israel, and you are living somewhere in that 1,000-year period between David and Jesus. As one of the faithful of Israel, you would hear the Psalms of David, and your faith-filled heart would soar in worship. You would be fully aware that David was a man after God's own heart and that he led Israel righteously. And you would be fully aware that ever since Solomon's compromise with idolatrous wives, The nation has largely gone downhill spiritually. Yes, a few godly kings here and there, but mostly ungodly kings. And you, as part of the faithful remnant, are heartbroken over Israel's idol worship. As a Jew who truly loves the Lord, you long for the promised Son of David. Yes, he would come and restore Israel's political greatness, but in your heart, even more important, this future king, this Messiah, would, like David, lead his people to love God and to live for God. And your heart would yearn for his coming, especially when you would hear the prophets. Like Jeremiah, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." And Zechariah, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he." And Isaiah, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Those are some of the prophetic predictions of the coming Messiah, the coming King, the coming King. And among those faithful who were waiting for the King of the Jews was a teenager, Mary. Our next passage is the angel Gabriel's words to Mary. And she would understand Gabriel's message and be overwhelmed. Gabriel visits Mary and says this, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This is maybe the most overwhelming angelic encounter in Scripture. Think of it. David lived 1,000 years before Christ, so Israel waited 1,000 years for that Son of David, Messiah. And a teenage girl living with that messianic hope not only gets a visit from an angel, but is also told that she will bear a son who will be the Messiah. It's repeated 3 times in what Gabriel says. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary was not at all oblivious to the magnitude of this. She treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Someday, in the new heaven and new earth, you will get your chance to sit and visit with Mary and ask her questions and hear her story. And amazingly, she will want to hear your story too. We're looking at snippet passages in Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2, which give us crucial pictures of just who this baby Jesus will be. So far we have seen he will save his people from their sins. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is King of the Jews. And of his kingdom there will be no end. We've got three more passages. The next one is a glimpse of Jesus from Elizabeth. Elizabeth and her husband, the priest Zechariah, were the parents of John the Baptist. Theirs was also a miracle pregnancy. We are told Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, we will hear from Zechariah before we are done, but first we hear from Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Mary were relatives, and when Elizabeth was in her sixth month of pregnancy, Mary visited Elizabeth and stayed for 3 months. Elizabeth in her third trimester, Mary in her first. We are told that Mary entered Elizabeth's house and greeted Elizabeth, and little John leaped in Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she said, "And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" It's another glorious glimpse of who Jesus will be, who Jesus is. Elizabeth had a deep understanding of the Messiah's identity. She seems to have grasped the deity of the Messiah. Maybe she dwelt long upon Psalm 110, verse 1, where David writes, "The Lord," that is Yahweh, "says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." David calls the Messiah, his future descendant, his future son. He calls him my Lord. In a culture where a father would never call his son my Lord, this verse speaks of the deity of the future Messiah. And Elizabeth understands. She is an early voice in the New Testament testifying to the lordship of Jesus, and we are grateful to her. We don't go through the Christmas season without reading her testimony that Jesus is Lord. As we look at these glimpses today of who Jesus is, how important it is to remember that Jesus is Lord. He is Lord over all, and he is Lord of all. He has not yet manifested his lordship universally. That awaits his future return. Before his return, it is essential that we surrender to his lordship and live under his lordship. We know that to the unrepentant, the need to confess Jesus as Lord is utterly distasteful. They hate the thought. We were there once. We hated the thought. We need to testify to them that confessing Jesus as Lord is the doorway to a life of true peace and joy and true purpose. The great lie out there, and one time in here, is this: the good life is me living for me. The good life is when I am Lord of my life. That's the great lie. The great truth is, living for Jesus as my Lord is truly the abundant life. The sixth of our seven glimpses of who Jesus is comes from Elizabeth's husband, the father of John the Baptist. The priest Zechariah had been struck mute for his lapse of faith in Gabriel's words, "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." Zechariah doubted, and he was struck mute. Well, when the baby was born, And the day came to circumcise him, Zechariah wrote on the tablet, his name is John. And then Zechariah could speak, and he prophesied the following about Jesus. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. This, of course, is a prophecy inspired by the Holy Spirit. We are told Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. So every bit of this is without error and will be fulfilled as God intends for it to be fulfilled. It is very much in line with so many prophecies in the Old Testament. It is largely a picture of the Messiah's political and military deliverance of his people. Verse 69, God has raised up a horn of salvation for us. Well, what kind of salvation? Verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies. And verse 74, being delivered from the hand of our enemies. This type of messianic prophecy is why so many first century Jews were confused by Jesus. He did not politically organize, and he didn't muster an army to fight the Roman Empire. The confusion is absolutely understandable, because what was not clear in the Old Testament prophecies was the fact that there would be two advents, two arrivals of the Messiah. To use the classic terminology, Jesus came the first time as a suffering servant, and he will come a second time as a conquering king. Zechariah's prophecy is a conquering king prophecy, meaning it is an end times prophecy. Now, we've always known that Jesus' followers are promised that there will be persecution. Jesus himself says that if they hated him, they will hate us also. And we know that the world's hatred of Christians will come to a head at the end of the age. For us 21st century North American Christians, persecution has always sounded surreal and foreign. We know that brothers and sisters in many other countries much more quickly hear the ring of truth in this. I think only in recent years, with the radical changes we've seen in the culture, have we begun to really believe that we may actually need to be saved from our enemies. So let's be encouraged. If and when persecution comes, the Messiah Jesus is our deliverer from the hand of our enemies. The seventh glimpse of who Jesus will be comes from the angel appearing to the shepherds. And of these seven passages we are looking at today, this may be the best known. The angel says to the shepherds, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And we can pair this with the first passage we looked at. He will save his people from their sins. I'm glad to end on the same point we started with. I often pray that God will turn on a light so that the eyes of our heart will see Jesus, that God would shine a light on Jesus so that we will see him as glorious and respond in repentance and faith and surrender. Well, what have we seen about Jesus in Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2? What have we seen? He will save his people from their sins. They shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. He who has been born King of the Jews, of his kingdom there will be no end. And Elizabeth's testimony regarding Jesus, my Lord. That we should be saved from our enemies. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. If you are seeing the glory of Jesus today, give yourself to him today. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Say something like this: Jesus, I have lived my life for myself. Now by your grace I turn from me to you. I want you, Jesus. I will live my life with you as Lord of my life. Jesus, I know I cannot earn your favor and forgiveness. Only your life and death will purchase the favor and forgiveness that I need. So I place my trust in you and you alone as my Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. I'll call on the worship team.